want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and patriots and jackbooted thugs alike. We are back. We are very sorry that we missed last week, but we were in the middle of some serious bullshit traffic and couldn't get home and do the show. So we appreciate Big Ed Springsteen for sitting in for us. And we are back here tonight, and the date is Thursday, January the 9th, 2014. We'll get the numbers out here in case we forget them later. You can call us here at 858-683-1326. 858-683-1326. This is the TNT Radio Show on the My View Matters Radio Network, and I am your host, Dale the Truth. And now we'll get back to our most popular feature, and that is This Week in History. We got our Liberty calendar back this week, and I have to just let you know that we had the postal worker man slash woman slash thing deliver our Liberty calendar this past week, and they totally messed it up. They totally crushed it up and just brought it in horrible shit form, because that's what government union workers do. That's what the government and postal workers do. They tear up anything related to Liberty, and they've been hemorrhaging billions of dollars, and we shouldn't really have them. Now, of course, my good friend Larry West reminded me they're constitutional. Yeah, but only the office, not the delivery of the mail. They're horrible at delivering mail. That being said, we go to the Liberty calendar for our This Week in History. And the most important thing I see up there is this week in 1776. One of the most important things was Common Sense by Thomas Paine was first published this week in 1776. And it challenged the authority of the British government and the royal monarchy. The plain language that Paine used spoke to the common people of America. It was the very first work published to openly ask for independence from Great Britain. And then also in that same time period there, that same era, we look at This Week in History, and we go back to this date in 1787. We'll share a little bit of what George Washington had to say. On this date in 1787, George Washington said, on unfunded paper money, he was talking this letter to Jabez Bowen. He says, every lover of his country will therefore be solicitous to find out some speedy remedy for this alarming evil. There is no possible substitute for the loss of commerce. Our first grand object, therefore, is its restoration. I presume not to dictate or direct. It is a subject that will require the deepest deliberations and researches of the wisest and most experienced men in America to fully comprehend. Again, this is George Washington on this date in 1787 talking about unfunded paper money. And he said, it probably belongs to no one man existing to possess all the qualifications required to trace the course of American commerce through intricate paths, nor to those that shall lead the United States to future glory. Washington says, I am sanguine in the belief of the possibility that we may one day become a great commercial and flourishing nation. But if the pursuit of the means, we should unfortunately stumble again upon unfunded paper money or any similar species of fraud, we shall assuredly give a fatal stab to our national credit in its infancy. Paper money will invariably operate in the body politic as spirit liquors do on the human body. Now, this is George Washington speaking about phony paper money, like the Federal Reserve notes that you guys love. Paper money has had the effect in your state that it will ever have to ruin commerce, oppress the honest, and open the door for every species of fraud and injustice. So basically what Washington was saying in this letter on this date back in 1787 was that you have a nation awash in fiat money and now plastic credit unfunded money, monetized debt in the Federal Reserve notes. And the question before us is not if it will crash, but when. And Washington was warning that the inner sanctum of government would be unable to control this cataclysmic catastrophe. So again, that was this week in 1787. And we'll move forward finally, back 100 years after that, Crazy Horse in this date in 1877. This is when Crazy Horse fought his final battle against the U.S. Cavalry in Montana. Crazy Horse and his warriors were outnumbered. They were low on ammunition, and they were forced to use outdated weapons to defend themselves. Kind of sounds like us today against the government. And if you'd gone back to 6 months previously in the Battle of Little Bighorn, Crazy Horse and his ally Sitting Bull had led their combined forces of Sioux and Cheyenne to a victory over Lieutenant Colonel George Custer. The Indians were resisting the U.S. government's efforts to force them back to the reservations. And I know Indians, Native Americans, whatever you want to call them, blah, blah, blah. But I'm telling you what they endured. It's more important what you know about what they endured than what you want to call them. And after Custer and over 200 of his soldiers were killed in the conflict, later dubbed Custer's Last Stand, the American people wanted revenge. Sound familiar? So combining military force with diplomatic overtures, we had General Nelson Miles convincing many Indians to surrender and return to the reservations. And on this date, in that year 1877, General Miles found Crazy Horse's camp along Montana's Tongue River. U.S. soldiers opened fire with wagon-mounted guns, driving the Indians from their warm tents into a raging blizzard. And Crazy Horse's warriors managed to regroup on a ridge and return fire. But alas, most of their ammunition was gone, and they were reduced to fighting with bows and arrows. And though he had escaped decisive defeat, Crazy Horse realized that Miles and his well-equipped cavalry would eventually hunt down and destroy his cold, hungry followers. So, of course, a few months later, you had Crazy Horse's surrender. And it all started back, like I said, this week in 1877. Now, back to current day. I wanted to talk a little bit later on in the show when we get a chance to get to it. We're going to talk about the things going on in the state legislature. And as we mentioned on Ed Springson's show last night, you're down to a total of 18 days until the filing deadline if you're going to run for political office. And there's a reason that you don't see a lot of big bills being filed in Frankfort yet. That's because these people don't have the balls to file bills until they see who's going to run against them. That's another flaw in the argument of how we set up dates of elections and filing deadlines and registrations and so on and so on. But they won't file any big bills until after that January 28th filing deadline because they're too scared and they don't have the testicular fortitude because they're scared of what's going to happen if someone runs against them. They don't want a primary opponent. Now, that being said, I've got to remind you guys again. I think maybe I reminded people about this 2 or 3 weeks ago, and now, again, we're down to 18 days. I think it's very important to put out this warning, and that is we have an election this year in which one-third of all U.S. senators are going to be up for election. And, yes, all you ever hear about in the Kentucky mainstream press is the gentleman, who I use that term loosely, Mitch McConnell, the incumbent, and Allison London and Grimes. People don't tell you about all the other candidates running for U.S. Senate. People don't tell you that there are a slew of candidates running for U.S. Senate, including in the Republican primary, Matt Bevin, who is the most constitutional and commonsensical candidate, and Gurley Martin also has filed to run in the Republican primary. People don't tell you about Tom Rechtenwald, who has filed in the Democrat primary, or Professor Greg Lichty, who is running for U.S. Senate in the Democrat primary. And they probably really don't talk about much about Ed Marksberry, who had his story make the Drudge Report this week about how Allison Linger Grimes folks tried to blackmail him, try to buy him off. And, of course, they don't talk about also David Patterson, the Libertarian candidate for U.S. Senate. So I'm off the topic for a moment, only to say that if you look at what's going on, there are a lot of guys running and gals running for U.S. Senate. And that's just one race. What about the fact that all 435 U.S. House seats are up for election this year? What about all 100 state House seats are up for re-election? One half of the state Senate races are up for re-election. Then here in Jefferson County, Louisville, if you will, metro government, you have the old offices of county attorney, county clerk, county sheriff, property value administrator, coroner, surveyor. You have, again, half the soil and water board supervisors. You have all three constables and magistrates up for re-election. And as Ed Springsteen mentioned last night, you have the Louisville mayor up for election, re-election, if you will. You have half of the Metro Council members up for election. You have over half of the school board members up for election. And let's not leave out the guys and the gals and the black moo-moos. You have a Supreme Court justice up. You have a couple Court of Appeals seats up. And all the circuit and district court judges in Jefferson County. That is all on the ballot, folks. If it sounds exhausting, it is. But again, that's all for general elections that will happen November of this year, this calendar year 2014. And that's all for a primary election that will happen in late May of this year. And a filing deadline, again, of January 28th. Only 18 more days, folks, until the filing deadline, if you or somebody you know is going to run in one of these two major party primaries, you know, the unit party, as we call them, the Republicans and the Democrats, the ones that make you pay for their primaries. So that's enough about that. And like I said, they're not going to file a lot of bills just yet because they want to see who's going to run against them. But I want to tell you about a few bills that you should know about. And these are bills that are getting a little bit of attention in Frankfort this week as the state legislator met up this week. I'll talk to you about House Bill 158. See, House Bill 158 is related to the abolition of the constable office, the aforementioned constables I just talked about. And yes, we know here in Louisville, we had a constable gone awry, constables gone wild, if you will. And people thought, oh, we got to get rid of those terrible constables. We don't need them. Well, again, just like the Postal Service, in the Kentucky Constitution, constables are constitutional. And there is a House bill now, 158, in Frankfort, Kentucky, that would basically abolish the constable office. And I can tell you that I, along with Take Back Kentucky, stand with the Kentucky Constable Association in opposing HB 158. This bill would permit basically county judges and fiscal courts to decide county by county whether the constable position would exist or not. And that's unconstitutional because you cannot have one elected official overseeing another elected official. You can't have counties and their county clerks, again, offices we just talked about, and their county judges and fiscal courts determining whether or not there's going to be a constable. It either is or it isn't. It's all or nothing. They are elected by the people, and they work for the constituents. Many constables, do a great job in smaller rural areas. So again, you can't let one bad apple ruin it for the whole bunch. You don't need to remove 500 elected constitutional officers from the streets who are not making a lot of money off the tax dollars. Yeah, let's remove basically people who are working pro bono and who love the Constitution and who are elected by the Constitution. If somebody's willing to run for this office, I know we always hear about people who spend lots and lots of money for elected offices that don't pay nearly as much. But if somebody wants to be a constable and serve the people and they're elected there, why would you want to remove them altogether? So that's another reason that we basically stand against HB 158, House Bill 158, if you want to go research that one. Now, there's another bill, another bad bill. It seems like most of the bills they propose are bad in Frankfort. There's another bill called HB 12. And HB 12 would remove senatorial approval for governor appointments for the commissioners of the Department of Insurance and the commissioner of the Department of Workers' Claims. And this is an expansion of executive powers. This is a removal of the checks and balances that would not allow for accountability and transparency in government. And if you think you have enough corruption already in government, this would open the door for even more corruption. So HB 12, the Executive Appointments Bill, is another bill that we think that should be voted no on, because it would expand executive authority, it would diminish legislative authority. Enacting of this law would only further remove the checks and balances, whether it be Papaw Bashir or whether it be fantastic Jerry Abramson, whoever the governor is. I don't care what party they're in. They don't need to have this kind of executive authority. The law would create less transparency and accountability and more opportunity for corruption. So that's two of the bills that we wanted to bring up tonight, and that is HB 158, which is a bad bill, trying to get rid of the constables, and HB 12, which is trying to give the executives more power, because the executives, such as the governor of Kentucky, does not need more power. We've seen what Papaw Bashir is like on his power trips. We don't need to see any more of that. Now, there's one more bill, and this will be controversial, but I will tell you this. There's a bill called HB 8, and it's a bill of concern that they're already working on this week. And HB 8 relates to the expanding domestic violence protection orders to dating couples. And before anyone gets the wrong idea, of course, we're against domestic violence. And we've seen some of these bills don't really do anything to fix the problem. But here is the bigger problem. You want to pass a bill? You want to pass this, what is the bill number, HB 8? A lot of these DVOs, these protective orders, clog up the legal system and do no good at all and actually stop anything from happening. We hear all the time about people who commit crimes, even though there are DVOs against them. And more often, society would like to admit that these orders become tools against each other in some kind of divorce or spat than they are a real substance. And now here comes these legislators. And thank goodness that the new Senate president said we didn't need this bill, because he's right, we don't need this bill. But some legislators want it to be expanded to dating couples. So can you imagine if you have a teenager, how this kind of program could get out of control quite quickly in the middle of some teenager having a squabble, and the next thing you know, there's some kind of violence, domestic violence protection order against them? Furthermore, it's complicated by the fact that many of these minors attend the same government indoctrination camp, aka public schools. So this bill is trying to address the problem, but in all seriousness, how can it? Well, what happened is a whole lot more regulations to school, in schools, to manage this problem. And probably a lot more drama to boot. So there you go. We said we were going to tease it a little bit tonight about the state legislature. We just talked about three bills that we think are very bad bills there. HB 8 is a bad bill. HB 158 and HB 12 are all bad bills. Most people don't know that the legislature is even meeting right now, but the problem is when they're in session is the time when your liberties are most at danger. Very few of them want to stand up in the legislature for your liberties. They'd rather just piss them out the window and get reelected. That be Democrats of the socialist design or Republicans of the neocon types. And we will get into a great story that Dr. Ron Paul put out this week over on LouRockwell.com. We'll talk about Ron Paul's article, and that's that liberation of Iraq that the neocons want you to forget. Another big government boondoggle. So whether it be Frankfurt or Washington, D.C., or the globalists, you know that we're going to stand up against the New World Order here. You're listening to the TNT Radio Show on the Mind View Matters Radio Network. Again, I am your host, Dale the Truth, and the phone number is always 858-683-1326. If you're on the line now already, press the number one key, and we'll know that you want to get on the air, and we'll see you after the bottom of the hour break.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We do think you can handle the truth here. We went into the break there with Knock at Heaven's Door by one of my favorites, Guns N' Roses, and they said in that tune, "Mama, take these guns away. I can't shoot them anymore." And I know we teased the story of the massacre that the neocons don't want you to know about, the national story by Dr. Ron Paul, but just to put a little bow on the topic of the state legislators for a minute, if I said that the state legislators went into their January session with guns a-blazing, I would not just be metaphoric in that. I would be, quite honestly, telling the truth. And that goes to a story that we see coming out, you guessed it, of Frankfort, Kentucky. The accidental discharge of a gun in a Kentucky lawmaker's office. And it sparked debate about whether guns should be restricted on Capitol grounds. Now, again, keep in mind that the culprit, if you want to use that term, they're all elected officials, so we can call them all culprits, but keep in mind, the person responsible for said gun was Democrat Representative Leslie Combs, who accidentally fired her handgun Tuesday while unloading it in her office in the annex adjacent to the Capitol. Combs said she has a concealed carry permit that allows her to carry the Ruger 380 semi-automatic handgun. They have to get semi-automatic in there because you really expect some politician to go in there with an automatic weapon when most people in the media don't know the difference. Kentucky State Police Sergeant Jason Palmer, the Legislative Security Branch Commander, said anyone with a concealed carry permit may bring a loaded gun onto the Capitol campus. And I would argue that you shouldn't have to have a concealed carry permit. Thank you. I would argue you don't need a concealed carry permit because we have something called the Second Amendment to the United States Constitution. But all that being said, Jason Palmer said no charges would be filed against legislator Leslie Combs. I guess I get a little giddy anytime we can get a paragraph that has charges being filed in a politician in one section there. I get a little worked up. But basically this gun discharged into the base of a bookcase while Representative Leslie Combs was discussing a legislative matter with another lawmaker. Was she trying to set up for a duel? We know you can't have a duel in Kentucky. It's illegal. Was she just trying to brandish this firearm? Because you know and I know that if you went into a government building and accidentally fired a weapon, do you really think you would get off this easy? Do you really think that no charges would be filed? Again, keep in mind, one, it's a woman, and number two, it's a Democrat politician. So you have a female Democrat politician accidentally, quote-unquote, allegedly, firing off her firearm, her Ruger 380 semi-automatic handgun, in the Capitol grounds, in the annex adjacent to the Capitol, and no charges filed. And she's a Democrat female representative. But no time could pass before here came Representative Mary Lou Marzian, who said she thought lawmakers need to really look at whether or not we're going to allow guns around here. I'm certainly not wanting to take guns away from people. Right, sure you aren't. I'm certainly not wanting to take guns away from people, but maybe keep them in our cars if people have them, to not bring them around to where they're going to be children walking up around the halls. Well, here's why I'm torn, because on one hand, I think it's all fine and dandy. I think politicians should be allowed to carry their guns in the Capitol, just like everybody should. Concealed carry permit be damned. But on the flip side, this is the difference in two sets of laws, one for them and one for us. There's not justice, there's just us, as they would tell you, because they can do what they want. If you fired a gun at the state capitol annex, what do you think would happen to you? Do you think charges would be filed? You're damn right charges would be filed. Now, Representative Stan Lee, another lawmaker, Republican, said the incident did not warrant a reconsideration of gun restrictions. Guess she needs to be more careful, said Lee of Combs. I don't have a problem with her having a gun, but you need to be careful using one. I guess that's the understatement of the day. Again, there's the legislators. They can do what they want. And then there's the rest of us that basically have to follow the laws they make. Well, we know damn well that if we had a gun in the Capitol, we would not be able to talk about it for a long, long time. It would be on CNN. It would be on PMSNBC. It'd be on fake Fox News. It'd be everywhere if a citizen, quote unquote, had taken a gun into the legislature. Now, that being said, we move now to a massacre of real importance, and that is the massacre that the neocons would rather forget. Ron Paul put out an article this week, and I will read it in part. Remember Fallujah? Shortly after the 2003 invasion of Iraq, the U.S. military fired on unarmed protesters, killing as many as 20 and wounding dozens. And, of course, in retaliation, local Iraqis attacked a convoy of military contractors, killing four. They're contractors, folks. Don't get too worked up. The U.S. then launched a full attack on Fallujah to gain control, which left 700 Iraqis dead and the city virtually destroyed. According to press reports last weekend, Fallujah is now under the control of, you guessed it, the boogeyman, Al-Qaeda. Remember Al-Qaeda? We haven't heard about the boogeyman Al-Qaeda for a while. But we're being told, allegedly, supposedly, that the Anbar province where Fallujah is located is under siege by Al-Qaeda boogeymen. You see, during the 2007 surge, more than 1,000 U.S. troops were killed. I guess you could say they were pacifying the Anbar province, is the way Ron Paul writes it. And although Al-Qaeda was not in Iraq before the U.S. invasion, it is now conducting its own surge in Anbar. Surprise, surprise. For Iraq, the U.S. liberation, quote-unquote, is proving far worse than the authoritarianism of Saddam Hussein, and it keeps getting worse. Last year was Iraq's deadliest in 5 years. Fighting and bomb blasts in 2013 claimed the lives of 7,818 civilians and 1,050 members of the security forces. You mean they haven't bragged about this at your local Republican Party fundraiser? In December alone, this past December, 1 month ago, nearly 1,000 people were killed. And Ron Paul goes on to say he remembers sitting through many hearings in the House International Relations Committee where they praised the surge, which we were told would secure victory for America in Iraq. They also praised the so-called, quote-unquote, awakening, which was really an agreement by insurgents to stop fighting in exchange for U.S. Federal Reserve notes, dollars, fake money. Ron Paul says, I always wonder what would happen when those dollars stop coming. Where are the surge and awakening cheerleaders now? One of them, Richard Pearl, was interviewed last year at NPR and asked whether the Iraq invasion that he pushed was worth it. He replied, I've got to say, I think that is not a reasonable question. What we did at the time was done in the belief that it was necessary to protect this nation. You can't, a decade later, go back and say, we shouldn't have done that. Yeah, you can. It's called hindsight, buddy. You see, many of us were saying all along that we shouldn't have done that before we did it. Kind of like the anti-John Kerry not doing it before we did it. Unfortunately, the Bush administration took the advice of the neocons. Again, these are Ron Paul's words, folks, not mine. We know how much you people in the neocon, quote-unquote right, can't stand Ron Paul, and now you pretend to like his son, Rand Paul. You pretend to care about Rand Paul when you see the Jefferson County Republican Party talking about these big events they're going to do with Rand Paul, where I can only imagine how many times they called and called and called and annoyed the hell out of Senator Rand Paul until he agreed to go along with their crap when they hated him, when they were jumping on the bandwagon of Charles Merwin Grayson IV. That's what it was all about back then. And they hated Rand Paul, and they really hated Ron Paul. And Ron Paul is saying here in this article from this week that the U.S. shipped nearly 100 air-to-ground missiles to the Iraqi Air Force last month to help combat the surging boogeyman Al-Qaeda. And ironically, the same Al-Qaeda group the U.S. is helping the Iraqis combat benefits from the U.S. covert and overt war to overthrow Assad next door in Syria. So think about this for a minute. In Iraq, we're told that the Al-Qaeda group is being assisted by the United States government. But next door in Syria, the groups we're helping to combat are the same people. I mean, it makes no sense. And Ron Paul says, why can't the U.S. government learn from its mistakes? The neocons may be on the run from their earlier positions on Iraq, but that does not mean that they have given up. They were the ones pushing for an attack on Syria this summer. Remember that, folks, when we were here on the network, on the My View Matters radio network, telling you we better stay the hell out of Syria? But the neocons wanted to get in there, and thankfully they were not successful. They are now making every effort to derail any efforts to negotiate with the Iranians. Just last week, William Crystal, Bill Crystal is the son of Irving Crystal, the grandfather of this neocon movement. And last week, William Crystal urged Israel to attack Iran with the hope that we could then get involved. Yay! Neoconservative senators, as the column by Ron Paul closes, neoconservative senators from both parties recently introduced legislation, the Nuclear Weapon Free Iran Act of 2013, which would also bring us back on war footing with Iran. So next time the neocons tell you that you must attack, think back about Iraq and Iran. That's what it comes down to. Think back about Iraq and Iran. So Ron Paul making very good points again about what we shouldn't be doing. I'm getting messages about this Chris Christie story, and I don't really want to talk about Chris Christie. I don't know why Matt Drudge has this as his top story. I guess if it helps derail Krispy Kreme Christie and gets him off the presidential sweepstakes list, and I guess that makes it worthwhile. But there's so much more important news than what's going on with Krispy Kreme Christie. But it is true that he's now in trouble based on his latest story. And I just really don't want to go into the Chris Christie story about the scandal created by his aides over a traffic jam. But this big fat thing is on TV denying that he had anything to do with the scandal. And we should be getting sick of him getting on TV and lying and acting like he's the next great action hero. You see, one of the millions of problems with these people, these elected politicians like Krispy Kreme Christie, is that nobody takes responsibility for anything they do. Or anything that people under them are doing or responsible to do. It does help, though, with not being let down when you just assume that they are all satanic, greedy liars. That's what we assume. They're all satanic, greedy liars. See, there are a lot of rich Americans that take responsibility, but we don't mean the Republicans and the Democrats and the Uniparty. We don't mean the heads of Big Pharma and the FDA and the USDA and all these alphabet government organizations. We mean all the rich Americans. They had to put up with the BS, and they're running small business, or they're running home businesses, or they're running their own personal individual businesses, and they had to pay workers and feed their families. And guess what? They had to be trustworthy and take 100% responsibility. But these government officials don't. I mean, what do you expect? The leaders to take responsibility. Next time that you get a DUI, what if you go into the court and you see the guy in the black muumuu and you say, hey, I'll take the blame for being drunk, but my bartender is really the responsible for this mess because I had no idea that Long Island iced tea could get me drunk. The mainstream press pushed these stories to keep your eye off the real stories. And we talked about this so much, and it's not politically correct. And Mr. Springs has been on these airwaves and told you about how it's cost some sponsors because we're not going to sugarcoat the crap. We're not. We're not going to sugarcoat it. Why does the mainstream press not tell you about the fact that Colorado marijuana shops have already run out of marijuana? Why doesn't the government tell you in the mainstream press talk about the fact that you have Hemp Inc. There's a stock called Hemp Inc. that has soared up 1,700%. Why don't they tell you that people are getting behind this? Why don't they tell you that we still have hundreds of people sitting in cages, convicts from Colorado's marijuana laws before they changed their marijuana laws? Why don't they tell you about what's really happening in Colorado, that marijuana has finally become legal for retail sale and that more might follow? We wish that Kentucky would have followed the lead. We wish Kentucky would not let a few people in the government, in the Kentucky State Police, keep them from having a successful crop in the state. Because we know what Jamie Comer and Rand Paul and even John Yarmuth, we know what they all did going into the legislature and speaking for industrial hemp. But we got nowhere with it because we got idiotic attorney general. I guess he thinks he wants to be governor. I guess he thinks that his beautiful hair, Jack the Conway Conway, he thinks he's going to be governor. And he's so afraid that the state police and their police union won't back him. And these are the stories that really matter, whether we're going to get behind industrial hemp, we're going to get behind medical marijuana, hell, if we're going to get behind any marijuana for that matter, because they want you to look at what you see on TV. Look how long we went through that crap about the Duck Dynasty TV show, and when it all came down to it, all it was a PR stunt. All it was a way to get people to buy more of the stuff that has their name and their picture and their representation and their trademark on it. People like the A&E Network and the Robinson family, they knew what they were getting into with each other, folks. It's called show business. If you think it's a reality show, it's not. There's nothing in reality about it. Now, we'll close out the show before we get to our closing rant and say this. If you want to talk about reality, the only reality show out there that's not scripted is sports. And we don't ever talk about sports on this show, but I was very excited about what happened here in Louisville today. Wish I could have been there, but my alma mater, the University of Louisville, rehired Coach Bobby Petrino to run our football team. I was very excited about that, and you would have thought that we were hiring a preacher or a deacon or a pastor. You would have thought that they were trying to get somebody to preach over at Six Flags over Jesus the way everybody came out against Coach Bobby Petrino. And we know a lot of it is just a bunch of jealousy amongst UK fans. And I understand these University of Kentucky fans because so many of them never went to the University of Kentucky. So many of them never even stepped foot on a college campus. But they're so scared of another program being successful. And that's why I said that sports is the real reality show. And I'm sorry, but if you are at the University of Kentucky, you're going to be in the basement of your league. What other football team do you know that cheated and went on probation and still lost games while they were cheating? But I just wanted to throw that out there because Duck Dynasty and that crap isn't reality television. If you want reality television, sports are the only reality television. They're very highly paid at the professional level. But it's the bread and circus that keep people from watching what's really going on, whether it be Krispy Kreme Christie or whether it be reality TV shows, quote-unquote, or sports. All these things keep people from paying attention to what's really going on. What about all the social decay in the country? People are really worried about what a football coach did years and years ago. But what about the fact that we have all these examples of extreme social decay in America that nobody wants to talk about? What about the story, and I will get a lot of rapid-fire stories in here quickly, and go look these stories up. What about the fact that the Super Bowl coming up, if we want to talk about sports and bread and circuses, what about the Super Bowl coming up in February? February 2nd, I'm waiting for the planes to fly over. I never know when they're going to land in my backyard here. Everybody can hear these damn planes flying low. I'm sick of these black helicopters and planes flying over. But as I was saying, what about the fact that the Super Bowl in New York, New Jersey next month is being called the largest human sex trafficking venue on the planet? We have a lot of people who are going to attend the Super Bowl, not to watch for football, but to have sex with children. That's a story nobody's talking about, but the Sun did, the Herald Sun did. What about the fact that you had a 13-year-old boy murder his cousin because of an Xbox? That's another story that just happened. I'm reading this one straight out of the Chicago Tribune, where the 13-year-old boy allegedly killed his sleeping 16-year-old cousin after an argument over a video game system. What about surveillance video, which is bad enough in its own, the fact that it's surveillance video on the streets? What about surveillance video showing innocent bystanders walking over a dead body in a convenience store entrance? That's a story out of opposingviews.com that happened up in Kalamazoo, Michigan, where the body of 24-year-old Gerald Wright was lying in the doorway of a convenience store in Kalamazoo, and customers just walked right over him unaffected. Because they got to get in there and get their lottery tickets. They got to get in there and get their Coke and their beer and their whatever other stimulants. What about the story? Anyone remember this story? This also came out of Daily Mail in the UK because our own media doesn't have the balls to cover these stories. Maybe they don't have the stomach for these stories. What about a Papa John's delivery man? This story came again out of the Daily Mail just this month. What about the Papa John's delivery man in Florida who was arrested and charged after he was caught on hidden camera having sex with a family's dog? See, these stories don't make mainstream because they're not cool. They're not fun. What about the New York group that's applying to put a statue of Satan at the Oklahoma State Capitol, the Satanic Temple unveiling designs for a 7-foot statue of Satan that he wants to put in the Oklahoma City Capitol, all because there's a Ten Commandments monument there? These are the stories nobody talks about, folks. I really wish it wasn't bad, bad, bad news. But if you watch TV news, all you get is fluff, fluff, fluff. They're not telling you the real news. See, the powers that shouldn't be have designed these things this way, and they have deliberately, intentionally operated behind the scenes to see that this stuff is done like this. It's a carefully constructed implement. It's horribly effective. Free minds need to examine themselves and consider better ways of operating. Transcend the animal. Our souls have been emptied of meaning, moral compass, and even an ounce of appreciation for our own existence. People are too damn worried about what a football coach did years ago, and less worried about what's happening when you have children raised in cold, sterile daycare environments where they get state-approved indoctrination. And the resulting youth culture, from this daycare indoctrination is built around unreal landscapes of violence and bloodshed coming from all directions. And they euphemistically call this entertainment. Don't get me wrong, I'm not speaking out against freedom of speech, because I think everybody has freedom of speech, but that's the problem. The conglomerates and the globalists that run these media large companies, where there's basically six companies that control just about everything that you see in the mainstream press, they don't want to tell you the truth about what's going on. They don't want to tell you the real news. You see, honesty to self, being loyal to yourself, just like Ayn Rand would have said, honesty to self and to others has been replaced by a frigid, polarizing brand of politics that chooses its pathways not based on what's right or honest, but by how it fits in with the current enforced political agenda. And this goes for the quote-unquote left and the quote-unquote right, by the way. The concept of hate has been so abused, and the word hate has been so taken advantage of, that it no longer is something to resist. The word is misapplied without thought or care, and it gets thrown around like racism. And these words don't mean anything anymore, but we got to start reminding people that words do mean things. And the problem is what's going on with the globalists. And the problem is what's going on with the internationalists and the quote-unquote reverse racists. When all they are racists, there's no reverse racism, folks. But the government indoctrination camps called public schools aren't going to teach the respect for self and others. It's just an assembly line. The people in the blue uniforms and the shiny badges are no longer there to keep the peace. They're there for revenue enhancement. So folks, you think we're not just telling the truth is all speculation? Whatever, think what you want. We come here and give you news stories that nobody else is giving you. Nobody else is telling you the truth about what's going on with the real news. You see, these instances are horrible, but they're not unusual anymore. This kind of crap goes on all the time. This is why you need to stop listening to the globalists, whether they be calling ABC, CBS, NBC, PMSNBC, Fox News. They're all one and the same. And the bankers and the psychopaths that fund them are only 1% of our population, and they cause worse than violent crime. Take off your little blinders, address the issue, and say death to the New World Order.
Well, they're here. I locked the door, but I can see them through the window. One of them is waving at me to shut down. I'm giving him the finger. I'll shut down when I'm goddamn good and ready.